What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Nothing Catchy Podcast. I am your temporary host just for this week. Mike is out sick, so I'm filling in for him. This is Jake Prosser here, aka Suicide Squad. Just wanted to hop on here. I figured Mike's not feeling well. In the playoffs, I don't want to be missing an episode. So a little something for you guys to listen to as I break down the results from this week. We'll go over some predictions for next week. Championship round starts. And then also some rule changes just very briefly. We'll discuss a little bit. Let's look at what happened this week. So this week was the semifinal round. So the way our playoff structure goes in this league is single round, and then two round playoffs for the championship rounds. So in the winner's bracket, we had JR Infidel, that's Juan's team, aka the Swifties, going up against Doug's team, Kirk's Right Achilles. That game was not close. Juan's team, who had the bye, who had the number one, who had the best record in the league by two games, no one was within even a game of him, was chilling out, had the first round bye just for his first playoff match to not go so hot. He had a season low 71 points scored in this matchup. Joe Flacco was his quarterback. Juan was hit. Team Swifties was hit with some really bad luck. Let's call it what it is. His quarterback, Justin Herbert, IR for the season. There was no Isaiah Pacheco in this matchup. I believe he had someone else out as well. I'm forgetting as I look at his team here. But Bijan Robinson did nothing. The Falcons offense just did absolutely nothing. I don't know what's going on out there, but he had seven carries for 11 yards and a fumble lost, which means if you do the math on that with how points are calculated, he finished with negative 0.1 points. So Juan basically had an empty spot there. Actually, he would have been slightly better off if he just did leave it blank. Then his other running back, Pollard here, didn't even get double digits. Didn't even hit 7 points, 6.7. In fact, everyone on Juan's entire roster outside of Joe Flacco in the year 2023, 36-year-old Joe Flacco was his leading scorer at quarterback, who had not even 20 points. Everyone else on Juan's squad, Team Swifties, single-digit points. Absolutely just the worst luck. He was dealing with injuries. He had several players out, like I said. But, I mean, that's fantasy football. Sometimes the luck drops your way, and sometimes you get bad luck and injuries happen. A.J. Brown, 8 points. Bengals defense, 7 points. Travis Kelce, 5 points. Garrett Wilson, 4 points. Just at DJ Moore, who earlier this year had a 50 bomb. What was it? 45 points? 7 points. So the bad luck bug hit Juan hard, and Doug was right. His team came out, and they did their thing. On the season, Doug's team is averaging 123 points, I believe I saw, going into this matchup. He scored 123 points. So his team was ready for this matchup, and they almost doubled up Juan, outscored him by over 50. Over 50. Lamar Jackson dropping to 20. Swift only had 8 points. His other big hitters were Kupp dropping 21 bomb. David Njoku, who's been really getting some nice chemistry going there with funny enough, Juan's quarterback, Joe Flacco. So anytime Joe Flacco was throwing a touchdown pass, because he threw one of them to Njoku, that was just benefiting Doug more than it was even Juan. So Njoku with a 20 bomb, and then Doug's defense also picked up the slack there with 14 points, the Saints defense. So Mike Evans had a good game, 16 a tub. So Doug's team came out, and this is the brutality of single-round playoffs. Juan had his worst game. Who knows? Maybe next week he's going to come out and his squad will put up 150, because Juan has his team has had that potential. Now, again, he's dealing with some injuries, but he left McLaurin on his Terry McLaurin. Yeah, Terry McLaurin left 20 points on his bench. And actually a running back. He had Zamir White, Raiders running back, who had a 20 bomb as well. So or 16 points. So Juan left some points on his bench, but even with that, a perfect lineup, he wouldn't have won. So this is kind of actually something I want to talk a little bit about later, but why not get into it right now? Playoff formatting for next season. Mike and I have been chatting, and we think it could be very beneficial. Come end of season, we all hop on a Discord audio call, have kind of a league meeting, and decide on some rule changes for next year. Formatting, rule changing, how we're going to draft, stuff like that. One of these things, real quick, I'll get into is the playoff format. I am a big advocate, big fan of doing multi-round playoffs, multi-round matchups in the playoffs. That helps eliminate a little bit of the luck aspect. Now, fantasy is so much luck, right? Injuries and stuff like that, you can't control them. But there is still skill in putting a team together that you have faith in. I don't think that your season should be determined based on one bad week. Juan just so happened to have his worst week of the season this week. And who knows? Next week, he could pop off. He could outscore Doug. Now, granted, this was such a lopsided victory. Who knows if he could have come back from next week. But example A, Alopecia Assassin, Elijah's team, just scored 160 this week. After scoring, I think it was in the 80s. Let me go back to week 14 real quick. Yeah, last week he scored 105. So a solid game, and he lost by 3. Had this been multi-round playoffs and he played team Jake Fitzy again, Jake Fitzy only scored 77 this week. Elijah would have beat him by like 40 points, or actually probably more than that. Because he outscored him by 90 this week. He would have won by a lot. So I do think that having multi-round or multi-match, multi-week rounds in the playoffs makes a lot of sense. Because it gives you that chance. We'll have to talk about it. I know Mike was a little against it. He was pushing back and saying, hey, a hot take, I don't think it really matters that much, but it does still up the odds a little bit. Now, you could, playing devil's advocate, you could say, well, what if my opponent just so happens to have a 170 week and that's their best week of the season? Valid. But even in a multi-week matchup, who knows? Maybe next week they'll have a bad week. It's just as likely. So I don't know. I can see both sides, but I like multi-week matchups just because I feel even if it's like 5 or 10% adding more skill into it, I feel like it does. That's something we can talk about as a league and vote on going into next season. But Elijah was pretty upset. He got kind of screwed, in my opinion. But so be it. These are the rules we set forth for this season, and so we're playing by them. Now, the other matchup that was mattering this week was Chase on the Case versus Team Jake Fitzy. And Team Jake Fitzy, after a narrow victory over Alopecia Assassin last week, his team didn't really show up. He was the second lowest scorer in the whole league this week. And he actually had a spot. His kicker was out. He played without a kicker. So a little bit of a fumble of the GMing right there. Not even GMing, but man, just being a fantasy coach there. He kind of fumbled the ball there. And his team just didn't show up. Josh Allen was his highest scorer with 16. So that tells you what kind of week he had. Eckler, ETN, just some of their worst performances. So Team Chase on the Case, Dion ended up winning by a score of 106-77. Comfortable win. And he had Sam Laporta, who popped off for near 30. And Amon-Ra St. Brown dropped 20 for him as well. So with Matt Stafford pitching with 18. So he had a decent week. He would have lost to a lot of other teams this week, but it just seems like Chase on the Case, Dion has had a lot of luck. I don't mean to be a hater, but he's had a lot of luck in his matchups this year, it seems. Just seems to play people at the right time. So that's sometimes how fantasy football goes. With that said, I am rooting for Chase on the Case to bring it home. It's not a great look for our league that someone who has, and hey, I mean, I don't know if Dion listens to this at all. Dion, if you're out there and you're listening, I hope you're doing well, man. I hope you're happy. I'm a little bummed out, disappointed that you decided to cut ties with us, but so be it, man. There's no hard feelings. And I'm just going to be honest here. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it on the podcast because I'm going to be honest. If you win, I don't think anyone is going to be sending you the prize pool just because you kind of decided to burn bridges and didn't respond or reach out to any of us. So we will be looking for a new team manager going into next season, regardless of what happens here. If Deion Chase on the Case wins, we're looking to fill his roster position because we want a community of people who are all at least, you know, we don't all have to be friends or best friends, but at least, you know, are partaking in conversation on a weekly basis. And he has decided to leave all the group chats and whatnot. So it is what it is. So be it. But I am rooting for him so that I don't have to pay up my $50 of the prize pool winnings. I know a lot of us feel that same way. That leads us into our championship matchup next week. If you're following along, that's Deion versus Doug. Kirk's Right Achilles versus Chase on the Case for the championship. Now, our finals, our championship matchup is 2 weeks, week 16 and 17. The reason we ended our league week 17 was so that we could avoid the potential of teams being locked into playoff spots in the NFL and deciding to rest starters and getting screwed in that regard, because I've been screwed in other leagues in years past because of teams resting players in that final week of the season. So we end week 17 of the NFL, and it's going to be Doug versus Deion for all the marbles. If Doug ends up winning it, he's got a nice little prize pool of $550 waiting for him. And I even want to, this year, I think I'll do it out of my pocket, but I'll order a custom fantasy football ring for you, Doug, and send that to you, or a trophy, whatever you want. Cause that'll be fun. Nice little, you can add it at a shelf. I think Mike mentioned in the last episode, it'd be fun to have a collection. If we all stay in this league for, you know, 10 years from now, have a nice little collection. Some of us, of course, I won't have one any even 10 years from now, but I'm sure some of you will have a couple rings or trophies, to kind of brag about and talk trash with. So, I don't know. It's just really fun. Doing small things like that makes fantasy football more fun. So let's look. What do I predict for that championship matchup? Well, I wish I could look at the actual matchup, but as you guys know, Sleeper does not show the matchup predictions or anything like that until it says if you go to week 16, league matchups will be finalized pending any stat corrections on Wednesday at 1 a.m. So they're not showing up yet, but as I pull up their rosters, I do think that Deion, Team Chase on the Case's luck is going to run out here in a lot of ways. And I don't mean to be talking trash on him because he's obviously put a decent roster together. Two things can be true at once. He has a decent roster and he's had luck of a lot of matchups. So looking at his roster, he's got Matt Stafford, Devon Achane, Najee Harris, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jackson Smith, Nigba. I'm always kind of scared to say that name. I'm not going to lie. I got to be careful with that one. Sam Laporta, Jamar Chase, Elijah Moore. On his bench, Jonathan Taylor, Alan Lazard. Jeez, Myers. Pittsburgh defense. It's solid. Obviously he's won 8 games and now he's going into the championship. So he's got a good squad. But let's compare that to Kirk's Right Achilles, Lamar Jackson, DeAndre Swift, David Montgomery, Cooper Kupp, Mike Evans, David Njoku, DeAndre Hopkins, Puka Nacua. It's a fascinating decision, and it's paid off for Doug so far, keeping Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua in the lineup at the same time, because obviously they leech off each other. But Matt Stafford has been balling out a little bit. He's been playing a lot better. And so if you have both those guys out on the field, you are, if Stafford is balling and throwing touchdowns, you got a good odd of one of your guys catching him. So interesting little, he's got Puka Nacua in his super flex spot right now. Jake Elliott. Josh Jacobs, what's his rank on the season? He's number 15 running back. I think this is going to be closer. I think this is going to be a pretty good 2-week matchup. I think it's going to be close. My head is telling me Kirk's Right Achilles is going to win this thing. But my heart is rooting for Deion. My heart is rooting for Deion. I want him to pull it out just so, again, selfishly, I don't have to pay up the winnings. But we're in for a treat. Should be a good matchup. I'll be watching that closely. Playing for third place, we have How does this work? It's so confusing. It looks like trademark. That's Mark, aka Big, as Mike would say, Big Bodie Jody, playing for. He just locked in fifth place, and so that means that. How does this work? Does that mean that? Okay. So that means that Juan and Team Fitzy, yeah, are playing for third place next week. Going back to the toilet bowl now. Going to the toilet bowl. Isn't this something? The two commissioners, the two people who played all season, Mike and I were kind of within a game or two of each other. I started off a little better than Mike, and then he kind of went on a winning streak middle of the season, and I was struggling to put back-to-back wins together. It was always win-loss, win-loss, and so I decided to sell on this season, stock up on draft picks, and Mike, I wouldn't say he went all in. He didn't pull a Matt. He didn't pull a – what is Matt's team name? He didn't pull a Coupe de Goff. He didn't pull a team Coupe de Goff and trade away his entire future for next season. But he did make some trades, including some with me, ironically. I traded him Tyreek Hill and a running back. Who was that running back? Oh, Kyren Williams. And so as fate would have it, though, poor Mike, just with the worst luck of fantasy football that I've seen in quite some time. Missing the playoffs by losing by 0.3 and then getting blown out and destroyed by Elijah putting together one of his best weeks, has found himself losing the first two rounds in the toilet bowl along with yours truly. I lost to Matt, Team Coupe de Goff, and then I lost to Team Vladdy Daddy. So hey, shout out to Team Vladdy Daddy. He put a win together, beat me by about 18 points. And Team Anoop knocked out Team Pangwangle, Mike, by almost 30 this last week. And so me and Mike, your two co-commissioners, are playing for that toilet bowl poop king title. All right, loser takes all. But Mike, I'm going to try to... because I want those bragging rights on you, man. I want to be able to say that I finessed you for some picks and you finished last. That will be some nice bragging rights to tuck under my belt. So funny. The winner loser gets a little digital trophy that says you suck at fantasy sports, and it's just a trash can trophy. Pretty funny. It's just a digital little thing. But Mike and I, no one can say that there's any collusion or corruption in our league, because the two commissioners were fighting it out for last place. So, hey, good luck, Mike. May the worst man win. I have to be honest. I don't see much chance at all of me, Team Suicide Squad, knocking out Pangwangle. My team is bad. As I sold away almost all of my good players, and I've been starting, like, at best, like flex players in every position. So I'm not surprised that I'm playing for it. I am shocked that Mike is playing for it and also get a bit of a kick out of it. Just because I know the pain of fantasy football and the bad luck that one can have at times. And so that's where Mike is. But yeah, there's no chance. I mean, it's 2 weeks. Maybe I'll get incredibly lucky, but my team is so bad. So bad. Drake London probably being my best skills player right now. I mean, my goodness, it's bad. Harrison Butker actually probably my most reliable. Yeah, so I'll go ahead and, you know, proudly wear that crown of poop king of the toilet bowl when Mike beats me. I mean, Mike's got a good squad. Like I said, he's had bad luck. He's got Mahomes, Breece Hall, Kyren Williams. You guys can look at his roster. And Rashee Rice has been playing nicely for him. So he's obviously got Tyreek Hill, who's probably going to be your keeper. I assume, Mike, that Tyreek's going to be your keeper, that's the one thing I'm bummed about, is I wish I could have kept Tyreek as my keeper, but got a lot of draft picks to try to make up for it. Let's see. Matt secured a seventh place finish, and that means this week we've got playing for ninth will be a Noop. And I guess that would mean that, yeah, Jared secured it's so hard to understand this, the chart that they have for placement, especially in the toilet bowl bracket, the losers bracket, because it's inverse, it's flipped, so you move on so I think that Matt secured sixth place. I don't know, But anyways, playing for ninth place this week will be Vladdy Daddy, or what's his name this year? It is the Vladinator and Anoop playing for ninth place. All right. That brings us to, I'll wrap this up. I'm not going to go too long here, but I did quickly want to talk about some of the rule changes and whatnot. Just very, very, very briefly here. Doug summarized a lot of really good thoughts in the Discord chat. If you guys missed it, here's what they were. Suggestions for next season. Number one, we're doing money up front next year, just so that we do not run into a similar, and again, sorry to, you know, blatantly call them out, but another Chase on the Case, Dion situation where someone decides midseason they want out, and not to really be associated with the rest of the league. So money up front. When you're bought in, you're going to be a little more invested, I think. You're going to be like, hey, I've already put this money. This money is sunk. It's real at that point. It's not like, oh, at the end of this, I'll pay my money. Maybe people will forget X, Y, Z. I'm not saying anyone's, you know, ain't planning to do that. But it makes it a little more real. You're buying in, not saying at the end, I'll pay this money. So money up front. Doug went on to add a little bit. He said, commissioner holds the money from before the draft. That's a good idea before the draft. Guys go MIA, AWOL, their part is secure for the eventual winner. Keeps teams accountable for setting lineups or being active. Nobody gets upset and refuses to pay. Yeah, exactly. Commissioner lineup changes. This is something that Mike went over a little bit. And just to set the record straight, and I'm not accusing Mike of accusing me of this. The only reason I set Team Jake Fitzy's lineup when Alopecia Assassin and him were playing last week, going into last week's matchup, was because specifically Elijah, Team Alopecia Assassin, reached out to me and said, you can sub in his tight end. So I made that correction for him. Otherwise, I was going to let it be because I agree with Mike. We are all adults in this league. It is our responsibility to set our lineups and make sure we're paying attention. I want to have a league where we're all invested and active and taking part in it and joking around and talking trash to each other and bragging about wins. And that just makes the league as a whole more fun. So, commissioner lineup changes. And more specifically, this is what Doug went on to say. He said, in the event an owner or coach can't set a lineup, he can ask for it to be set per his wishes. Take the time, make your lineup, and set it. Leaving spots empty, players out, benched is your responsibility to change. If you are waiting to see if someone plays and message the commish late, hopefully they have time. I understand, some of us are a lot of us in this chat, in this group, in this league are have kids, and I know life is busy. Trust me, I work at a dorm, and so I work every other weekend, and I have 20 teenage guys that I'm looking after. And at a moment's notice, at the drop of a hat, I may have to take a guy to the ER. And that's not an exaggeration. We've had 4 guys taken to the ER so far this school year. So I get it. I know that stuff happens. But be mindful. Be intentional. Be invested. You're putting $50 into this league. Be invested. If you're busy and you're like, hey, Commissioner Mike or Commissioner Jake, if you're able to, can you check my lineup 15 minutes before kickoff? You know, just plan ahead of time, and I'm happy to do it. I think that Mike is okay with that as well. Something more we can talk about come end of season meetings and voting and whatnot. Doug went on to say, without team direction, commissioners do not adjust anything. Everybody's an old nice guys, but play to win or find a free league. Exactly. Play to win or find a free league. So something to think about if you're not super invested in this league and you're not enjoying it maybe as much as you thought you would. I don't know, XYZ, you fill in the reason. No hard feelings if you decide you don't want to do it going forward. But like I said, we are wanting people to be really involved and be engaged. Hop in the chat once a week and share your part. It's been really good about that. There's only a couple people who haven't. And, I'm not upset or mad at them or anything. I understand life is busy and everyone has different varying degrees of investment in this, which just goes back to point number one, money up front. Okay, number three, trade vetoes. No more league votes. If it's an egregious trade like CMC for Dante Moncrief or something like that, it can be argued against in the public forum, but not immediately vetoed. 100% agree, and this is something that Mike has talked about in detail as well. We're all in this to win. This is not a free league. This is a keeper league on top of that. So we're all invested for the long term, hopefully, if we're in this league. If someone is willing to do a trade, and maybe it benefits one team a little more than the other, who knows? I don't think it's fair to immediately put doubt. I mean, just because you personally subjectively think that it was getting fleeced, maybe that other person read something or did research on their own. Let's give everyone the benefit of the doubt that they are playing to win. Now, again, if it's an egregious situation where it seems like blatant, they're blatantly throwing it and they're like, screw it, I don't even care about my $50. I don't want this person to win. I don't think we'll have that energy. We're all friends here. We're all on good terms with each other and whatnot. And I think that we're not trying to sabotage the league. So like Doug said, unless it's a blatantly egregious trade, no veto. I think trade should go through right away. And I just am echoing things that Mike has said before. I know. And if we do have an issue with the trade and we want to question and maybe prod a little bit, we can discuss it either in the Discord chat or in league chat right on Sleeper. Doug went on to say, any collusion or obvious tanking can be investigated by commissioners who have the best interest of the league in mind. As far as I'm concerned, you spend $50, you can play as you please. Yeah, valid. We already talked a little bit about playoff formatting. I think it would be awesome if we had 2 weeks per round. An idea, because there is 12 people in this league and we have a bye and a wild card round, I almost think that the wild card round should stay a single week, because that's kind of the entire point of wild card rounds. It's like, maybe you get a Cinderella, maybe we have a season where a 6-7 team or sub 500 team sneaks in and their team just gets crazy hot and they're able to pull off that upset in wild card weekend. And make a run in the playoffs. I think there is something fun and exciting about that. But I think that the divisional, or I'm sorry, not divisional, but I think that the semifinals and finals should be at least 2 weeks. Not at least, they should be 2 weeks each. This may mean that we only do this year we did 13 regular season weeks. This may mean that we do 11 regular season weeks or 10, just so that we hit a point. Well, man, it's tough. I don't know exactly how we want to break this down because of the fact that bye weeks are still going on. And so we're kind of in that weird zone where it's like, how do we make sure everyone's done with byes? But how do we make sure we're not running into week 18 where some teams rest starters as well? So that can be frustrating. But again, even with those things, if they are happening, I think that the multi-week playoffs can benefit that. I don't know. It's tough to think about, and we'll have more discussions on it come end of season. Last thing I want to briefly touch on is draft order. I think we've discussed there are two possibilities for this. We draft in reverse order of our standings at the end of season, counting the playoffs. So if I finish in dead last 12th place, I get the number one pick, so on and so forth. Or we base it off of end of regular season standings, which for me, using, you know, sticking with me as an example, means that I would draft. It means I would draft in. Let me pull up my standings here. So I was 6-7, fourth in Division One. I would somewhere in the top four, a bottom four or five, or you know, top four or five. And while I'm here, divisions. We have two divisions for no real reason. I don't think we need divisions, and I know that several people have chimed in on that as well. Next season, I believe we are going to just straight up do one division. It's just one league. So 1-12, best records, no weird divisional split kind of formatting. There's no point in that. We'll just do 1-12, and the best six records make it. And seeding is then determined based on your record straight up across the board. Because like I said, Dion was 8-5. Well, actually, I think by the end of the season, he actually was a top. Was he a top two? Well, he had the same record as LPG Assassin, Big Booty Judy. I think Big Booty Judy scored more, or at least Lige did. So he wouldn't have been the one seed in the other bracket. Who knows how that would have played out? It does add another dynamic and layer. So maybe we can, we will do just one division straight up. Going back to draft order. So I don't know how we want to decide where people draft. Mike, again, made a good point that even if we do it based on where you finish in the division, in the regular season standing, words are so hard. I'm scatterbrained right now. I'm looking at like five different things. I just got a text, so I was looking at that. Even if we do it based on final standings, there may not be that much derivation. Is that a word? There might not be that much change between where you would have drafted, even if it was based on regular season. I don't know. That's something we can vote on and we can decide as a league. There was one more thing I wanted to mention. Let's see if I can find it. I thought of it while I was looking at the standings. Oh, yes. Next season as well. I think we're all in agreement on doing this. Each week, you basically have two matchups. You play your opponent, and then based on how many points you scored, you get an extra game against the league average. So how many points everyone scored, I guess it would be divided by 12. That gives you your mean, your mode. I don't know. The average points scored in the league versus how many points you scored. So let's say you just get, you know, the luck of the matchup and you scored 78 points and you won. Your opponent somehow only scored 67 and you get a win. Meanwhile, a guy who scored 140 loses to a guy who scored 160. Seems a little unfair because you had an amazing, you fielded an amazing team and yet you got an L with nothing to show for it for all your points scored. So that would give you, if we assume that the league average was 120, you get one win because you outscored the league average, but you still get a loss because of your matchup. That's going to be fascinating to see how that plays into people's records. And I'm really excited for that because I've never played in a league like that. And it does, I think, keeps it more competitive and adds a little more skill. Because if you're fielding a good team, even if your opponent has an amazing week, you'll still get a win. So could be really fun. I'm excited to have an end of season chat with you all and we can decide on these rules, try to finalize them. I have a little note going here. Mike, maybe I'll share this with you as well. I'll share it with the whole league and we can vote on some things and really continue to form this into a amazing fantasy football league, the Nothing Catchy Fantasy Football League. All right, guys, I'm going to end it there. I've been going for 31 minutes already. I'll leave you with that note. Good luck to Team Chase on the case and Team Kirk's Right Achilles in the championship round. Congrats, y'all, for making it, and may the best man win. And, Mike, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. in the loser's bracket, who is going to be the poop king? We'll see. All right, guys, that's all I got for you. Mike, thanks for letting me host this episode. Until next week. Goodbye.